Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. It's a beautiful morning, isn't it? Yeah, let's give God a round of applause for this awesome weather. I just want to remind you that last week we had snow. Isn't that something to think about? What a wild world. Well, if you're a guest with us, again, we just want to thank you so much for coming here to Pioneer Christian Fellowship. If you're a guest, if you've never been here before, at the end of your bulletin that you got when you came in, if you fill out the information there and give it to the person at the welcome desk on your way out, we want to send you a free gift and connect with you and get to know you. And if you go here and you need a prayer request or something like that, something you would like to notify us of, you can use that same paper to do that. All right, so last weekend was an awesome weekend. For those of you who don't know, myself and a couple other pastors in the area, Warsaw and also Lovejoy over in the city, we did a conference called the Forever Weekend. We purposely didn't call it a conference, but it was kind of like that. It was a merger of, it was for youth. It was for kids anywhere from 12 to 18 to come on out to this weekend. You can see on that picture there, there's like John Lonneville and his wife leading. We had worship. Show some of the other pictures in there. Just go through them while I'm talking about it. It's fine. We had a great time. God met with us. It was amazing. It was our first one we've ever done. This was our goal. How do we make this thing, how do we do something that's impactful where they can meet with God and also have fun but also affordable? Like, because some of these, I don't know if you've ever known, a lot of these things are really expensive, sometimes $100, $200. So we were able to find some awesome people to donate to this, and we were able to do it for $40 a kid. Now, that included all the speakers, all the worship, Chick-fil-A for lunch, dinner, pizza, and a Ninja Warrior course and a silent disco. If you've never done silent disco, it's wild. Actually, is the next picture after this silent disco? I think it might be. I'm not sure. Maybe that's the end. It's okay. What you do is you put on different headphones and you walk around. There's three DJs, and the three DJs are picking, but you can choose what you're listening to. Now, it's only in your headphones. So there's 100 people in a room with headphones on that are different colors because they're listening to different DJs. It was amazing. But when you take off the headphones, you feel like a moron because there's no music playing. And it was just a great time. We had a fantastic time. We brought all of those right there. That's our crew, minus I think the only one missing from that was Henry. So, yeah, we had a great time. It was amazing. God really met with not just kids, but also leaders and pastors like myself. God did amazing things. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because the sermon that I have for you today is the sermon that I preached on the opening night of the Forever Weekend. Now, it's not just for teenagers. It's for all of us. And I want to start off by this. There's a verse, you've probably all heard it 1,000 times. You probably know it by memory. There you go. Yeah, there you go. So here is the way that God loved the world, that he gave his only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but will experience everlasting life. John 3:16. You probably know it best as, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who shall ever believe in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. In other words, everlasting life is forever. Anybody ever watch The Sandlot? Anybody? Forever. So look to your neighbor and say forever, will you? Forever. In 2020, when the world shut down and we didn't know what was happening, you guys remember that. I mean, you got to put your mind back in. We didn't know what was happening. We didn't know what was going on. And a lot of us stayed home. I remember Pastor Jeff calling and say, hey, we don't know what this is. So for now, we're going to stay home. So stay with your families. That means that I'm in my house with my beautiful wife and our three children, and our dog. Now, the first couple days went really well. Because you're like, this is great. look at us, we're all together, we're sharing together, we're in the same house all day together, and it's wonderful. And then shortly after, 2-3 days later, you're like, get me out of here. I want to leave. You know, I got 3 beautiful daughters. They're all great and wonderful and beautiful. God made them that way, but they're also got that side that makes you want to smack them. And I'm sure my wife is saying the same thing, but not just the 3 children, but also the big child, right? I can remember we were doing the COVID updates, and I was trying to do those in our bedroom, but then the door's locked, so then a kid needs, she needs a snack, so she's slamming on the door as I'm trying to tell you guys or pray for you or all these things that we were doing online, and it just became, like, that house became so small. When we bought it, I can remember thinking, we're going to be here forever. But then COVID comes, you're stuck in your home with your kids, and let's get a new house. So we did. We did. I called my friend Dave up, who'd been pestering me for years. He's a realtor, and he's been pestering me, I'm talking years. And I never thought about selling my home until I was stuck in the house with my family, and it felt very small. I mean, I even set up in our mudroom, which is not very big. I set up an office in there just to get away for a brief moment. How many of you all have been there? You know what I'm talking about, for those of you who worked at home. So we called our realtor, and of course, he's showing us houses, and he shows us what we can get, and we're looking at homes. And he kept saying this phrase over and over again. He would say, is this your forever home? Now, my wife, that hits differently for her. She's like, oh, my gosh, what if it is? Isn't that wonderful forever home? And I'm sitting there thinking, this can't be my forever home. So sure enough, we go and look at all these houses. Is this your forever home? And what are they trying to say? They're trying to say, is this going to be the home that you're going to raise your family in, retire in, do all those things in? So they're saying that. It's definitely a catchphrase. But get this. Right after we bought it in 2020, that following summer, we renovated the kitchen. It was in dire need, and my wife, that was the deal right there. We had to renovate the kitchen. So we did all of that work. As soon as I was done, that same friend Dave, who tried to find me my forever home, called me up and said, hey, you ready to list? I just bought the home. You said this was my forever home. Well, let's find your other forever home. See, because forever homes don't exist. Not on this planet. And this sermon today is called Forever Home. The reason why they keep asking that is because it takes a long time, but the truth is that it's hard to wrap our minds around forever. We try to get it, but we say silly things like, honey, when's dinner? It's taking forever, right? Or Chick-fil-A, right? You're in the line, and you're like, the arcade McDonald's is so fast and efficient, this is taking forever. And it really did for me, actually, at the Forever weekend. It felt like it was taking forever because they screwed up my order. So it was like an hour and a half of waiting in a Chick-fil-A. And it felt like forever. Or the pizza guy for my daughter's birthday was a half hour late, and I said to my wife, this is taking forever. Do you notice all my analogies have to do with food? I just wrote some things down. I'm like, oh, shoot. But how about you could say, you know, I've been at a baseball game before and went into 15 innings, and I literally looked at my friend. I said, let's go. This is taking forever. We'll use these words forever, like I'll be yours forever. High school students love saying that. I love you forever. And then they break up the next week and find somebody else and say that same thing to them. Or forever home. It's hard to wrap our minds around forever because our world, there's nothing that lasts forever. But to God, there is a forever home. There's a verse in Hebrews 13:14, it says this, for this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Permanent, meaning lasting, eternal, forever. Let's say this together. This world is not our home. Let's say it together. This world is not our home. And for those of you who don't know, this book in Hebrews, or this book in the Bible called Hebrews, we don't know exactly who the author is. They don't tell us. But this author totally understood one thing. They wanted us to realize, this author wanted us to realize that there are people in the faith that we should be looking up to. And all throughout Hebrews, this author is explaining to us, telling us these incredible heroes of the faith, and they call it the Hall of Faith. You've probably heard of the Hall of Faith. Let me just tell you some of the names that are with these. These are like the all-stars. These are like the legends of our faith. People like Abel, who was the first martyr. People like Enoch, the man who walked with God. Or Noah, a righteous man. Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation. And look, come on, ladies, we got Sarah. Come on. Sarah's in here, the mother of the Jewish nation. We have Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, a lady spy. How cool is that? Come on, girls. You got it right here. We got Gideon. We got Barak. Not Obama. Not Obama. Old Testament, way before him. Samson, Jephthah, King David, and Samuel. These are the men and women that are mentioned as examples of men and women of faith. People that we should be looking to. Now listen, were they all perfect? No. They weren't all perfect. They all had some issues, but they were men and women of faith. Now listen, this is where I want to spend most of our time. If you got your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 11. This writer of Hebrews is trying to explain something to us that I think is so important, not just for, like I said, not just for teenagers, but for you and me. I don't care if you're here and you're in your 90s. I don't care if you're here and you can barely understand what I'm saying because you're only 3 years old and you should be downstairs anyway. So Hebrews 11, chapter 13 says this: these heroes all died clinging to their faith, not even receiving all that had been promised to them, but they saw beyond the horizon the fulfillment of their promises and gladly embraced it from afar. Now, here's what I want you guys to hear right here. They all lived their lives on earth as those who belonged to another realm. They all lived their lives right here on earth as those who belonged somewhere else, to a different realm. Other translations will say things like they were citizens of another country, or they were like aliens, they were like foreigners, like they just didn't fit in. They were living different than the people who were living on this earth. They were living for their forever home. I love that translation, realm. It's like they were living here on this planet, just like you and I, but they were living as if they were a part of some other realm, some other country, some other city, some whatever your translation says. They were different. They were physically here. They lived their lives here, but they weren't caught up here. They weren't caught up here. They may have had homes on this planet, maybe some of them didn't, but they were living their lives with their forever home in mind that doesn't exist on this planet. Now, the question I want you to ask you is, what if you could live your life now, today, for forever? And what if your forever home could influence your life right now? What would that change for you? What would that change for the kingdom of God? Seriously, if your life was changed because your mind, your hopes, your identity was all based on your forever home, heaven, eternity, how would that change your life today? It's challenging for us to think about our forever home. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around eternity or another realm or forever because we're in the here and now. We're here. This is the struggle. We're stuck here. We're like, what even is heaven? I've heard people say, you know, what is heaven? It's a place called forever with puffy clouds, and I heard they have golden streets and stuff. Like, but you don't see that. You don't see that here. So how could these men and women be focused on something they can't see? See, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around, and I think a lot of times Christians have this outlook where, like, I can't fathom it, I can't imagine it, I can't think about it, so I'm just going to stay here. And I'm going to live every day as a citizen of this planet. I'm going to do this. So they abandon their forever home in their lives. They abandon the one thing that the Bible tells us to cling on to. See, the Bible says that the people of faith lived their lives as if they were part of another realm, as if they were part of their forever home, eternity, heaven. They were looking, they weren't so, it's like we were just saying, even when I don't see it, you are working. Even when I don't feel it, you are working. These men and women of God didn't see it or feel it, but they knew it and they believed in it. They were focused on those things. So here, this morning, I have three things that you can do right now, that I can do right now, to start living like these Hall of Faith people. Three things. Three things to live life here on earth if you're a part of your true forever, and live as you are a part of your true forever home. You know, it's funny, another realm. I was thinking, wouldn't it be funny if I took you, you were like, hey, Pastor Josh, I want to go out to coffee. And I'm like, sure, let's go over to, you know, Grace and get some coffee. And we're over at Grace and we're getting coffee. And you say to me, and I'm sipping my coffee, you say, you know, my life, it's just like, it's hard for me to keep it going. It's hard for me to just believe in what's happening. Everything in my life stinks. And all I do is just sip my coffee. And I say, you got to live like you're part of another realm. And you would sit there across from me and be like, you're nuts. Okay. You need to live. Here's my one advice for you. You have to live as if you're part of another realm. You're nuts. Because I live in Arcade. And I'm not a part of another realm. But I got news for you. You are. You are a part of another realm. And what the writer of Hebrews is telling you, and what I'm trying to convey this morning, is that there's hope. Don't give up. Don't give up. These things are meant, when you fix your eyes on the things of God, when you change your life to say, my focus is on my forever home, then all of a sudden, things might not get better around you, but you have a hope that is solid in forever, for eternity, that will never pass away. It will never pass away. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't just throw in the towel and say, I don't want to think about that. Keep moving. It's like when people say, hey, what is your wife and how do you guys stay together? Next month will be 15 years we've been married. How do you do that? I'd say, well, we don't say the D word, divorce. We don't even say it. It's not part of our vocabulary because I'm not giving up. My wife ain't giving up. We're moving on. And the writer of Hebrews is trying to convey that to us, that these men and women lived with that in mind. They lived as a part of another realm, that the things of this world didn't affect them, that they were living for their forever home. You and I are only here for a moment. C.S. Lewis said it's like a blink of the eye. And I'm sorry, you're here this morning and you're looking for an encouraging word, and here you have a pastor telling you you're going to die. But you're going to die. You're going to die. I mean, we're all getting older. I know we're all getting older at different times. And for some of you, you still see me as the 17-year-old kid in a punk rock band with black hair. But we're all getting older. I mean, the other day I was at Walmart and I was looking at a foot bath. And I thought to myself, that seems like a good idea. I need one of those. But as I was there, another older gentleman that was definitely 30 or 40 years past my age, he's also looking at the foot bath. And now we're discussing what's good about the foot bath. And I said, you know, I might want to look on Amazon before I buy it here. And he looked at me and said, what's Amazon? I said, I made it. I'm in the club. You know the club when you literally throw out your back by doing something like changing your socks? My friend called me the other day, and I said, how are you doing? He's my age. He's 38. And he's like, not bad. My back hurt. I'm like, oh, cool. Were you doing some kind of workout or something? No. I was changing my socks. I said, did you talk to your wife about it? You know, maybe get a chiropractor. He goes, if I do, she's just going to turn it into a health thing. So I'm like, we're there. We're there. Some of you younger, you don't think it's coming. It's coming. And I don't care if you're Tom Brady, you ain't living forever, right? That dude has the skin of like a 12-year-old boy. Like, he's perfect. Like, what is he doing? He's going to die. You're going to die. We're all going to die. Look to your neighbor and say, you're going to die. I'm sorry. Pioneer Christian Fellowship. So, the big... Now, here's the deal. You're going to die, but you're not going to die forever. Your earthly life will end, but you won't die. Your body will fail. You know, mine's already failing. Some of y'all know what I'm talking. You're in the same boat. Some of you teenagers are like, I'm never going to die. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid, right? Like, I'm sorry. It's going to happen. And then you'll look at me when you're like 38 years old and be like, I'm sorry, Pastor Josh. Yeah, exactly. I mean, but here's the deal. Like, my hope, my vision, well, I want it to be focused on my forever home because this world's jacked up. My heart breaks to see the injustices around this world. So should yours. My heart breaks to see divorce. My heart breaks to see child abuse. My heart breaks to see this stuff, but this isn't my home. So if you want to focus, if you want to put your life, I've just got three things, forever home. If you want that, number one is this, embrace your forever home. Embrace your forever home. Hebrews 11:13, it said, these heroes all died clinging to their faith, not even receiving all that had been promised to them, but they saw beyond the horizon the fulfillment of their promises and gladly embraced it from afar. Here's what they did. They're in the finite world, and they looked, even though the world is finite, and this is where I am, I'm looking towards my forever home, and I'm embracing it. I'm holding on to it. That is where my hopes come from. That's where my dreams come from. That's it right there. And when they embraced it, that kept them. It kept them close to God. It kept them on mission. And kept them full of hope. See, when the finite, when this world falls through, when this world is lacking, have you ever been there? Come on. Really, God? This is what I get? I'm going to lose my job? This is what I get? You're in a finite world. You're in a finite world. Really, God? This is what happened because we treat God like a fairy godmother. And we're like, oh, you're just going to give me everything. Everything's going to be perfect and wonderful. And when it's not, we say, life's not fair. It's not. Thank God, because Jesus died for us, so he conquered death, so we can live forever. Life's not fair. But our life is only a blink of what forever is. We find out that life isn't fair, but we also find out that good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. But bad things also happen to good people and good things also happen to bad people. The Bible says that he reigns on the just and the unjust. So life's not fair. This world is messed up, but this isn't your forever home. Don't treat it like it's your forever home. Don't embrace this earth like it's your home. Don't put so much stock in this life. See, these men and women of Hebrews, they embraced their forever home. That means they didn't settle. They didn't change their values to be more like this world. Yes, when things went bad for them, but they weren't fixated on those bad things happening to them. They were fixated on their forever home. It's not my notes, but I love the story, and we were just talking about it in our small group we're in. It's like when you see Paul and Silas praying in a prison, and they're worshiping God while they're locked up in chains, and he's a Roman citizen, and it's not fair. But his heart and his mind were fixated on his forever home. This is not my home. But they're saying, these men and women are saying, I'll be home soon. Wow. This isn't forever. This world we're in is not our forever home. This is not where you belong. You actually do. It's like they said, it was like they were a part of another realm. No, they are a part of another realm. You and I are not in this. We're somewhere else. But we're living here, but our home is not this home. Right now, I need to tell myself, listen, I'm not home. Right now, I like it here. I mean, I like this earth. This weather is amazing. God has done incredible things, and he's going to do incredible things, and he's going to use us to do incredible things. But when the world shuts down, and people are dying, and they're telling us that we have to lock down and put masks on, and they're telling us, you know, people are losing their jobs, and they're saying this, and you got all this fighting going on, you got political unrest. Let me just step back and remind myself, this ain't my home. Let me just remind myself and excuse myself, this isn't my home. When our culture is forcing us to pick a side on every single issue, and if you don't belong to this party, then you must hate this. And if you like this party, you must hate this. And you got to get into this world, and this is how your identity is. Let me step back and go, this ain't my forever home. It's not. This is not where I will be forever. So I better align my values, align my vision, my hope, embrace my forever home. I need to embrace it. I need, when I get caught up and my stupid friends are trying to get me to do stupid things, this is not my home. I don't live by those values. I was wondering, I want to explain this in the best way, and I love visual illustrations. Can I get a volunteer? Is there anybody who would like to be a volunteer? Wow, all of you. That's great. There's literally none of you. Ted Campbell. Can we give Ted Campbell a big round of applause? Now, Ted, we all know that you broke your leg pretty bad. So I'm trying to be good to you, okay? He broke his leg at Camp Judah, and compound fracture, and so you're gonna die, but not now. All right, so I got these boxes here, and I want to illustrate something to you, and this isn't for Ted, this is for all of us, right? But these boxes represent different things of this earth that we tend to embrace. So for starters, we'll say your career, okay? That's a pretty important thing. Your career, but sometimes when you focus everything on it, it becomes too much, right? But that's not just that. I mean, what about health insurance? Because you had to deal with that too. We got health insurance. We got, hey, you got to live in a really nice house. Got to do that. And, oh, wait, hold on. What about your Roth IRA? Do you have one of those? I just started that because I'm getting old. And then you have the worries about what your children are going to do and who is Jeremy going to come home with, what lady, some hot friend. And then the next thing you know, you just got everything in here, you know, because retirement's come. You got all this stuff. Wow. Give it up for Ted. He's doing good. Now, you're holding on, Ted, to the whole world. How's that feel?
It's heavy.
Yeah. I put some rocks in there. I didn't. He's just weak. I'm just kidding. But the truth is, if I was going to ask you for a hug right now, what would you have to do? Just do it. Yep, there you go. He's got to drop all of that stuff if he wants to pick up. If he wants to be focused on his forever home, if he wants to embrace it, he has to drop these things. You can't pick up these things, hold on to them, and also live in your forever home. Because these things will take up all of your thoughts, your worries, your stresses in life. These things will weigh you down and give you burdens. Think about Matthew, when Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, where it's not even in my notes, but where he says, come to me all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Give him a round of applause. Will you do that? Let go of all this garbage. Give it up for these guys, too, who are helping me. They're awesome. Thank you. See, because when we're holding on to this stuff, we get obsessed about it. And we're like, oh, what am I going to do? My life's not the way it should be. Listen, I'm not saying don't care about it, but don't embrace it. I'm not saying don't have a 401k or a Roth IRA. No, do those things. Plan for the future, but we should be planning more for our forever home. We should be living now today as we are already citizens of our forever home, and we are now ambassadors to this earth, not carrying that junk and garbage, so the world would be like, man, you don't see like you're weighed down as much because I'm living like I'm a part of another realm. I've embraced my forever home. Let me tell you about it. See, God says in eternity, in your forever home, we have a different value system than what we have on this earth. See, while the world's saying get, God's saying, no, my values are give. When the world's saying we fight, Jesus is like, oh, we fight a different way. We fight with love. Oh, man. You know, a lot of people are trying to say that God's a sissy because he loves. You ever notice for a moment how hard it is to turn the other cheek when somebody's being nasty to you? You know how hard it is to pray for somebody instead of smacking them upside the head? You know, what's easier, to fight or to love? It is a lot easier to fight. That's not sissy. That's not. That is the toughest thing you will ever do in your life is live by those standards of your forever home. But I'm telling you, it's worth it. I'm telling you, it's worth it. It gives you hope, and we need to embrace our forever home. We need to get familiar with our forever home. We have to ignore the things that the world is telling us and say, wait, what does God say about that? Because I want to live as if I'm already there, and I want to take as many people with me. Amen? Number two, talk about your forever home. In Hebrews 11:14, the next verse, it says, for clearly those who live this way are longing for the appearing of a heavenly city. This word live in the Greek is speak. They spoke of. They talked about it. Have you ever talked about going to the Bahamas? How many of you like to be in the Bahamas right now? Let me get that. Some of you are like, no, okay. How about Disney World? I always hear people talking about, we're going to Disney World. It's going to be great. I can't believe we can go there. Or you'll say Busch Gardens or Myrtle Beach or whatever it is. For some of you, it's Montana. Okay? For some of you, you're thinking, like, I want to go to this magical place, this wonderful place. And what do? We tell people about it. Someday I'm going to go to Italy. I'd always like to go to Poland just because I'm Polish and I would like to, like, literally, one of the reasons I want to go there is just so I can show my last name and screw them up because it's a very uncommon name even in Poland. So, yeah, we have that going for us. But, well, you know, some of you have been to Hawaii and you come back like my parents and give us a slideshow and we're like, okay, we get it. You've gone to Hawaii, okay? I can barely pay my taxes right now, but you went to Hawaii, you know? And then we'll talk about it. You'll talk to your friends about things, like maybe a favorite hunting trip or somewhere you want to go, a destination. Someday I'm going to go there. And then you get online and you look at people who are actually living that life and going to those places, and you're like, man, someday I'm going to do that. But my question is, why don't we talk about our forever home? We'll talk about all this other stuff, places we want to go, trips. We'll plan for those trips. And we'll tell people, yeah, you know, I love when people go on down to Myrtle Beach because I always try to find out where you're going. I want to help you. I want to get you going. And sometimes I send them to places that don't exist anymore because it's been that long. But, they, you know, when they're talking about it, why aren't we talking about our forever home? Why aren't we telling people, hey, you know what? There's a place where none of this garbage exists. There's a place where there's no sin, there's no cancer, there's no pain. There's a place. I want you to go there with me. I want to be there forever. Someday I'm going to go there. There's no weeping, no hatred, no sickness, no pain, no racism, no belittling, no gossip, no arguing. Amen. Come on, Jesus. I want that place. It's the most perfect place that's ever existed and that will ever exist, and it will exist forever for eternity, and you and I get to go there if we believe in Jesus. Well, amazing what he did for us on that cross is he defeated death to give us an eternal home We should be talking about that as Christians. We should be telling people about our forever home. You know, they tell you, I just read this 2 weeks ago. I read this, that Christian Bible schools and things like that are literally telling pastors, don't talk about eternity. Talk about all the practical stuff in life, but don't talk about eternity because people can't think that way. They're not thinking that way. So if you want more church people in your church, talk about all the practical stuff, which we do, but we need to be also talking about our forever home. The practical means nothing if your vision isn't set on your forever home. This is not your home. One day we're going to gather together around a God who loves us and created us and then died for us and came back to life for us. And we're going to be with him for eternity. And that is where my home is. This isn't my home. And someday I'm going to be there where there is no sin. And someday, listen, this should be our mission. Not that we just got the golden ticket, but now we're trying to hand the golden ticket to other people so that they can get where we're going. It's not me, but I want you. Listen, I screwed up. I'm messed up. I'm jacked up. But listen, if I'm anything, let me realize that if God gave me grace, he's given you grace, and then you can live in a perfect world, and we can hang out together forever with no sin. Because some of you are like, I don't want to live together forever with Josh Whippy. That's going to be weird. But there's no sin, right? So I won't get weird, you won't get weird, we won't get nasty, because that doesn't exist. Right? I don't know. See, because you're thinking of forever in these terms. Forever is forever, and it's without all the garbage that we're living in today. And again, listen, this is not part of my point, but if we're speaking about forever, we should also be treating other people as if they're already in forever without sin. Whoa, just came to my mind. What if we did that? What if we treated people like God had intended them and created them, sinless? You treat them without the gossip and the arguing and the complaining and the nastiness and the belittling. They're doing all that to you, and you treat them as if they're not even doing it to you because your home is in the next home. Your mind is set on my future home, so you're treating people the way that God wants to embrace them. Come to this. Yeah, you're messed up. It's all good. It's all good because Jesus died for that. Confess your sins to him, and you can be with me forever. Okay, I got to move on because I'm taking too long. Number three. Look to your forever home. So we're embracing it, we're speaking about it, we're talking, we're living that way, and finally looking. This is Hebrews 11:15. And if their hearts were still remembering what they left behind, they would have found an opportunity to go back. But they couldn't turn back, for their hearts were fixed on what was far greater, that is the heavenly realm, their forever home, eternity, forever. Listen, their hearts, if they were still remembering what was left behind, they would have found their way back. See, I'm convinced that one of the reasons why so many people go back to their old lives after finding Jesus, going back to their old sins, their old destructive patterns that cause hurt and shame, is because we get caught so much. We get caught up in the here and now. We get caught up in what's happening in this world that we aren't looking at our forever home. We're looking backwards. See, the enemy wants us to look around. Oh, he does. He wants you to become so obsessed with what's happening on this planet that you forget about your mission for your forever home. He wants you to get so torn up and get on that Facebook and start causing division, causing pain, because you're focused on the things of this world and not on your earthly, or not on your forever home. So what we'll do is we'll get so focused on the negativity, we'll get so focused on the garbage, yes, that exists, we all agree. But then we say, I'm so mad about the injustices here that we cause more injustice and more problems and more division. Who is the author of those things? Satan. So he's using you to get mad about the negativity, get mad about the injustices, get mad about this stuff, so that you can therefore take more of that anger and division and pain and throw that to all the people around you. And the enemy goes, thanks. That's just how I want it. Meanwhile, God's saying, I want you to be like these men and women of faith, not looking behind, but looking to what's beyond. Looking to what lasts forever, not stuck in the here and now. Are there injustices? Do we need to do things? Absolutely. But where is your focus? Because you can't move forward if you're looking back. If I'm looking back, I am going to go back to those things, those habits, those ways, and I'm moving the opposite direction from the way God wants me to move. That's why, personally, me, I don't care what you do with your life. You can do whatever. For me, I got off Facebook. Deleted, gone, over. I did that for me. Now, you could do whatever you want to do, but for me, I was so focused on the here and now that it was causing divisions with even some of you in this building. I ain't doing that anymore. Titus 3:4 says that we should not be in stupid arguments that produce nothing. So I'm like, wow, my focus is on the wrong thing. Once again, here I find myself. I better focus on my forever home. See, it gets really hard when we get caught up because we're looking back, and sometimes we get mad and we have this self-righteous thing that happens. But sometimes we look and we're like, everybody else seems to be having a good time. You know, they're partying, they're going out on Friday nights, they're doing whatever they want. They seem like they're having a good time. They're doing whatever they want. See, that's another tool from the enemy to make you think. But that's hurt, pain, destruction. And you know, I hear people say, you know, I'm a Christian, but on Friday nights, it's hard when I'm sitting at home watching reruns of The Office when all my friends are just doing whatever they want to do. When all my friends are just doing that. See, listen, you've been there, I've been there. But when it says this, they couldn't turn back. They couldn't. They could not turn back. Why? Because their hearts were fixed on what was far greater. That is the heavenly realm, their forever home, eternity. Their hearts were fixed where they couldn't. That's what it says. They couldn't turn back because they were fixed on what was lying in front of them, which is our forever home. They didn't go back. They weren't looking back. See, look to your forever home, meaning long for your forever home. There's nothing wrong with that. The world calls it weak. God says it's wisdom. Long for your forever home. Imagine. We don't do a lot of imagining, but we should. We should be imagining our forever home, what it's like. Just picture it with me. No pain. No disease. No quarreling. No money issues. Amen? Come on. No taxes. Come on! The Bills win the Super Bowl every single day. I mean, it's awesome. I don't know how he does that, but he does it, and I'm imagining it. Why don't we imagine? Why don't we long or describe? You know, it's weird because before COVID, we would sit at home. You know, we'd go to work, and I'd hear some of you guys say, man, I just need a break. I'm just tired. I wish I could just sit at home and just relax just a little while. And then COVID happens, and you get to do that. And then after a week, you're like, I just got to get out of here. This is nuts. I want to go back to work. I want to do something. Because we live in the fickle world. We don't know what we want. Now some of you are like, well, you know, another variant. If it gets bad again, I get to stay home. That'd be pretty good. No, because we're fickle. We don't know what we want. And God knows that. So he created a perfect home for us. And he wants us to look at that. We live in this world that just can't fulfill us. It can't. It doesn't have the capability to fulfill us. So God's like, don't focus on it. Don't long for that. Don't imagine that world. Imagine my world that I created for you. Be like these people in the Hall of Faith who looked and longed and imagined their forever home in heaven. I want to end with this. Pastor Scott, you can come if you want. It comes from Jesus' words in John 14. John 14, verse 1, Jesus says this. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I love that. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. When everything's right, when everything's ready, I will come back and take you to where I am. When all this is over, when it's your time, whenever that is, I don't know what that is. I was trying to look up the average life, and it's hard to figure out. But let's just say it's 98. Let's just say it's 98. It's not. Sounds good. I hope you all make it to 98. But when it's time and he calls you, you're going to be there forever. You know, Pastor Jeff has done this, and you know, it's a common thing because it's hard to describe eternity. But we get this rope, and it's a really long rope, and we take a little piece of black tape and we put it on the end of this rope, and we say, this black space here represents your life on earth, and this rope that goes to the end of the building represents eternity. I gotta be honest with you, I don't like it because that rope's not long enough. So let's say, okay, we'll take it to the Pioneer High School. It's not long enough. Even though the little black tape didn't move. That's just our life on earth. All right, so let's take it to Olean. Not long enough. Let's take it to South Carolina. It's not long enough. Let's take it around the world. Not long enough. Let's take it around the world 20 times. It's not long enough. Eternity means eternity. We can't even come up with a good illustration for it because it's beyond what we know. It's like, we only know time, but can I tell you this? God doesn't know what time is. He created it, but he's not restricted to it. Let that blow your mind for a second. It's not like he's like, oh, I got to do things on Tuesday or it's not going to. No. There is no eternity. Well, I better hurry up here. They're waiting on me. He only has eternity. There is no finite. That's what I meant to say. Just continues. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to come back and take you to myself when all this is over, when it's your time. And God's saying, I want to take you to your forever home. But the Bible's clear, we can only get there by accepting the gift that he's given us by his death on the cross and his resurrection. He defeated death. Let that sink in. He defeated death. And I want to hitch my wagon to the one who defeated death, because nobody on this planet's ever done that. Even Lazarus died, right? He died later. I feel like Jesus is saying this. I want to take you to this forever home with no pain, without destruction, without gossip and judging and backstabbing, without sickness and cancer, without arguing and fighting and division, without racism and classism. I want to create this home. I created this perfect home for you to live in. And I know right now it stinks. I know right now it's not good. But put your hope into your forever home. Put your hope and your passions and in the things you're thinking about, your imagination, and put them into your forever home. You know, because there's not a single nation that will be here forever. Think about it. The kingdom of God will be here forever. I know for some of us this morning, maybe you've been here and this is the first time that you're like, hey, I want to be a part of that forever home. It's not just for eternity. It's also for here and now. God wants to give you hope in this life. That although things are messed up and screwed up, He has something better in mind for you, and he wants you to live there with him for eternity, but he also wants you to have the closest thing to peace that you can have on this planet, and that's a relationship with Jesus. And he died for our sins, and he died for all the things you're thinking, well, I don't deserve that, neither do I. Join the club. I think we should do that more as Christians, right? I'm screwed up. Sometimes I think we should just call ourselves the screwed up church. Maybe people will start joining. I'm screwed up too. Come join us. We're all screwed up together. But I hate that that happens, that people feel like, well, I don't deserve it, and they think that we do. I don't. Man, I don't deserve it. But if you're here this morning and that's you, I believe that the Bible's clear that Jesus is God, that he died for you, and he's going to erase all that stuff you ever did. He's not even going to think about it. If you say sorry and you apologize, if you accept his love, you're now a member of a forever home in Jesus. Yeah, you'll die here, but that's not forever. You'll be in heaven forever. And I also know that there's others in this place that, you know, maybe you're like me and you're struggling with focusing, you know, you're looking backwards and you got caught up in the things of this world so much that, hey, you got to realign your heart and your mind, and you have to embrace and speak about and look to your forever home. But it's so hard because we're in the here and now. I feel like the Lord is like, just come back to me. I want to see your eyes. I almost feel like the Lord's saying that to some people. I want to look at you. I want you to look at me. Not at all the chaos going on. I'll give you the vision. I'll give you your mission. I'll give you the hope. I'll give you the things that you long for. But in this world that you're in, it's finite. I have a vision. I have something for you to do. Don't get caught up in this little black piece of tape. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I know for myself, Lord, I'm in this place. It's a daily struggle of not getting wrapped up in the here and now. It's a daily struggle to have to drop the boxes. It's a daily struggle to imagine. But Lord, I here I am as a pastor, and I know there's others here in this place that we're just saying, God, we want to be fixated on what you're doing. We want our hope to be in what you're doing in our forever home, where things are perfect. And Lord, I don't want to negate or even make it smaller what you did on the cross. Lord, I want that to be my hope and my vision and my everything, what you did on that cross coming back to life, so that I can live with you forever. But Lord, I know that I've been in those places where I'm fixated on things that do not help me in any way, and they don't help your kingdom, and those things I want out of my life. So if that's you this morning, I'm just going to ask you to stand, because I believe, and listen, I'm going to have a moment for those who have never accepted Christ before. So, hey, if you're a Christian, right now is a good time to start thinking of your forever home, because your reputation is one of those boxes. Drop it. Because I believe that the Lord's like, don't be focusing on what the world thinks about you. Be focused on what I think about you. So I'm standing in that this morning saying, Lord, would you help me? Would you give me that? Maybe it's something small. Maybe it's not the political stuff. Maybe it's just your day-to-day life that you've gotten so wrapped up into. The Lord says, let me take those burdens. Let me take those things off you. Drop them. Let them go and embrace me. So, Lord, we're embracing you here today. If you're here today and you just need to talk about it more. You need to tell people, your coworkers, more about your forever home. Listen, this world is desperate for you. Desperate for you to tell them those things. They have nothing to look forward to. You ask some people, if they don't know Jesus, what do you have to look forward to? I don't know. Like, what is there after this? Well, let me tell you about him. So we're standing and asking, Lord, would you do that? Give us that where we're speaking about it. I need your help. Lord, and we're looking back at times we need to be focused on you. We need to embrace you and embrace your forever home. I keep thinking to myself, Lord, the enemy loves to put things in your head, and it happens even in worship, right? It's like, I don't want to raise my hands. I don't want to do that. Somebody's looking at me, all this stuff. now I want to fix my mind and my heart on my forever home with you, where I won't even care. I want to live like that now. And Lord, I pray for anyone in this place that if you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you've never accepted the free gift. It's here. It's available. Listen, it's not like you can earn this thing. He's just giving it to you, but you do have to give your life to him. The way you've been living, this way of been, you know, focused on the world and focused on the opinions of others and focused on worried and caught up in all the rigmarole, you got to let it go. And you have to embrace him. So if that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand as well. We want to pray with you. We want to give you that opportunity of salvation. You know, taking the stand is just that first initial thought to say, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. Thank you, Lord. If that's you here in this place or online, listen, just repeat, just say this prayer in your own heart, in your own words. Jesus, thank you for what you did on that cross. Thank you for coming back to life so you could defeat death. And I ask, Lord, that you take all the negativity from my life, all the sin that I've done, that you forgive me for those things of hurting you and offending you, for offending others, for hurting others. I ask that you take it all away, and I want to live for you with my forever home in mind. Jesus, I need that. I need you. And I'm dropping all of the things of this earth, all of the values this world has, and I'm embracing you as my forever dad, my forever home, my forever God. Thank you, Jesus. Would you all stand with me real quick? I just want to really quick pray. I want to pray right now. The second point I had was that we're speaking about it. And right now, I wondered if, as we're in this place, and I know some of you are thinking right now of people that you should be speaking to, let's just lift our voices and pray for those people right now. Pray for yourself right now, all around the room. Just start lifting up your voice, saying, God, would you help me with so-and-so? Would you help me be able to speak about my forever home with so-and-so? Lord, I'm praying right now that you would start silencing the enemy's voice. Lord, that you would turn up your voice. Lord, we pray for a revival, but we know it begins with us, Lord. We are co-laborers with you. We are your ambassadors. We are living a part of another realm so that others can join the realm. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we're lifting up those in our lives, those family members, the co-workers, the people who are walking around with no hope, the people who are walking around with just negativity and shame and hurt and pain. Lord, we're asking right now that you would use us to be able to bring them into your kingdom, that you would use us to give them a hope in your salvation, that you would use us to bring them, Lord, into the family of God. Would you use us, Jesus? Would you give us the boldness? Would you give us the grace? Would you give us the Lord, just fill us with your Holy Spirit and start moving. Lord, we pray for other Christians in this town, in this Western New York, in this nation, in this world. Lord, for other Christians to start talking about their forever home. Lord, I pray for politicians to start talking about their forever home. I pray for presidents to start talking about their forever home. I pray that it would be so radical that some would say they've lost their minds. They've lost their minds. Lord, we have lost our minds for you. Lord, I want the world to look at us and say they're like a part of another realm. Who are these people? Why are they so full of hope? Why are they so full of grace? Why are they so full of forgiveness? What is different among these people is because we're fixed on our forever home. We're fixed on our forever home. Lord, right now, I just, again, use us. Use this church. Use this town. Lord, use this area, this state. Lord, we just want to usher people into your presence. That is our number one goal. That's my number one goal, God. How do I get everybody in here? Lord, help us be on mission. Help us not get off track when the enemy's trying to throw distractions in our face and throw offenses in our face. He does it. He does it because he wants you off mission. He doesn't want you talking about. The enemy does not want you talking about your forever home. The enemy wants you to be focused on this world and how messed up it is. Enemy, let me remind you, this is not my home. me excuse myself and remind myself, this is not my home. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. You could have just left us where death would be the end. But you conquered it. And we thank you that we can live forever. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen.